This is McGuire on the Wire, brought to you by McGuire Sponsel. We are a national consulting firm aiming to provide facts, advice, and updates on the ever-changing world of tax law. This podcast will give you base-level information as well as high-level thought leadership on how to navigate these technical disciplines. At McGuire Sponsel, we provide unique services to our clients using an old-school, hands-on approach that is deeply respected within the CPA industry. Now stick around and listen to one of our experts. We're glad you're here.
Welcome, and thank you for joining us for McGuire Sponsel's second podcast. For those that don't know me, my name is David McGuire. I am a director at McGuire Sponsel. I have a background in engineering, but I've been working in tax law, specifically depreciation and other specialty tax areas, for the better part of the last 20 years. Our first podcast covered what occurred in the House bill. For those that are just tuning in, most people right now know that there is a question in the House and Senate as to how to handle tax reform. And the House bill passed a few weeks ago, and then in the early morning hours of December 2nd, at about 2 a.m. on Saturday, December 2nd, the Senate passed their version of tax reform. Now, of course, that means that the House and Senate now have to meet and work out the differences between the two bills, which there are many. But for right now, we covered the House bill in our first podcast. We want to talk a little bit about what's in the Senate bill so that we can be prepared as they start moving through this reconciliation process. Now, McGuire Sponsel is a specialty tax firm, and we deal specifically in certain areas of the tax code, namely the R&D tax credit, cost segregation, IC disk, and a few other specialty areas. So I'm going to concentrate the conversation today on those areas and not get into some of the nitty-gritty of some of the other areas. Now, in order to understand some of the areas we're going to talk about, it is very important that we understand what happens under the Senate bill to tax rates. So one of the big things and what's being advertised the most is the corporate tax rate. Now, as most people know, currently, as we're recording this, the corporate tax rate is at 35%, and the corporate AMT rate is 20%. And I'll explain a little bit later why I want to bring up the corporate AMT rate. And then what'll happen under this bill is, has also been advertised quite a bit, the corporate tax rate will drop to 20%. But under the Senate bill, that's not going to be implemented until 2019. What happens is that the Senate has some budgetary concerns that they have to deal with. Namely, they have to have this be under a $1.5 trillion cost for a 10-year period. So in order to get it under that budget threshold, they had to delay the implementation of the reduced corporate tax rate. Now, additionally, the top marginal tax rate will be 38.5%, which is a little bit lower than what we saw under the House bill. Not significantly lower, but a little bit lower. And then what happens with the pass-through rate, I think we talked a little bit about in the House bill, there's this convoluted formula which amounts to about 30% of pass-through taxes being taxed at a lower rate. Under the Senate bill, they simplify that calculation a little bit. And what they say is a pass-through entity gets to deduct up to 23% of their income from the top marginal tax rate. So in other words, a entity that makes $100,000 would only pay tax on $77,000, and they'd pay it at the normal tax rates. Now, what will also happen though is there is a phase out of that, and that's not available to certain types of entities. So it is something that you'll want to talk to your tax advisor if this specific one went through, how that affects everything. But I want to make sure that we understand where those tax rates are so that we understand how some of these other things work. Now, with the R&D credit, for those that don't know, the research tax credit or the R&D tax credit or research and experimentation tax credit, all depends on who you're talking to. There's no real change under the R&D tax credit in terms of how it actually works, in terms of the amounts or anything else. So most taxpayers that take the R&D tax credit will continue to do it as normal. However, if you're a corporate taxpayer, there is a little bit of an issue. Now, initially under the Senate bill, there was not supposed to be a corporate AMT, and there is not a corporate AMT under the House bill. Now, as I mentioned earlier, if we look at where we are today, the corporate AMT is at 20% and the corporate tax rate is at 35%. So there's a big difference between the two. However, under the Senate bill, as I mentioned earlier, it was passed at 2 a.m. on December 2nd. So there was a lot of late night maneuvering in order to get this bill passed. Well, one of the things they had to do was they had to bring back the corporate AMT in order to pay for some of the things that they were giving away in order to gain the votes in order to pass this. Unfortunately, when they brought back the corporate AMT, they didn't notice that there was no gap between the corporate tax rate and the corporate AMT rate. I say didn't notice, they might say they noticed and they didn't pay that much attention to it, but it is largely thought that that was an error. Now, the issue comes up with the R&D tax credit and some other business credits that are out there is they can only reduce tax rates down to the AMT rate. So because there's no longer a gap between the ordinary income rate and the AMT rate, for corporate taxpayers under the Senate bill, it would alleviate, or eliminate, I should say, the benefit of the R&D tax credit. Now, as I mentioned, this is widely seen as a mistake. I don't believe that this was really thought about that heavily, so we expect this to get changed through reconciliation. I've actually seen a few people that have actually stated that the House probably would have accepted most of the changes under the Senate bill if not for this specific issue. So this is one of the reasons that the reconciliation might take a while, is to figure out how to pay for all these changes while getting rid of the corporate AMT or adjusting it in order to make things like the R&D tax credit valuable in the future. Now, some of the bigger changes under this rule come as it relates to depreciation and cost segregation. Now, similar to the House bill, the Senate bill brings up 100% bonus depreciation. For those that don't know, bonus depreciation's been out there really since about 2001 after 9/11 in order to stimulate the economy. It's been anywhere from 30% to 50%. One year it was 100% bonus depreciation. And what it allows taxpayers to do is write off certain pieces of equipment and other types of purchases. What the IRS says is anything with a life of less than 20 years and certain qualified real property. Now, under current law, in 2018, bonus depreciation was supposed to start stepping down from the 50% it is in 2017 to 40% in 18 and 30% in 19. Now, under both the House and Senate bill, that goes up to 100% bonus depreciation for a 5-year period. And actually, under both bills, it's retroactive to September 27, 2017. So that means a taxpayer that goes out and buys $100,000 worth of equipment at the end of 2017 would get to write off 100% of that. Now, under the Senate bill, what happens is after that 5-year period, it will phase out at 20% per year. So after that 5-year period, the next year it'll be 80%, next year 60%, until it phases out to zero. Now, this is going to be an important tax planning tool if this gets implemented to allow people to go out and spend money on equipment and get an immediate write-off. Now, additionally, it is important to note that under the House bill, although it did not have that phase-out period, 100% bonus depreciation under the House bill was extended to be available for used property. Now, traditionally, bonus depreciation was only for what they called first-use property. So in other words, the taxpayer placing that asset in service had to be the first one to ever own that asset. Under the House bill, it allowed it for used properties, so someone that went out and bought a used piece of equipment could access this bonus depreciation regulation. Under the Senate bill, it does not include that language, so it would only be for brand new property, similar to the way it is currently. So that is something that is a big difference between the two bills. The other thing that this bill does is it increases the 179 expensing from where it currently is to $1 million with a $2.5 million phase out. Now, that's not a huge change from where it is now. It doubles it from where it is now, but it is significant for certain small taxpayers. The bigger change under the 179 regulations, which is not in the House bill, is that it extends 179 to roofs, HVAC, fire protection, and security systems if they're placed in service after the building's originally placed in service. That means that someone that has a building that they've owned for a few years, or even someone that goes out and buys a used building, so a property that maybe was originally placed in service 10 years earlier, can go in and put a brand new roof on that building and immediately expense it if they are under their 179 threshold. Now, once again, this might be an opportunity for some tax planning where potentially the client, if they're buying a used building, might be looking at a large renovation. It might be something where that taxpayer looks at changing the way they do that that renovation and phasing it over time in order to make sure they stay underneath that $1 million threshold so they can write off things like the roof and the fire protection system and the HVAC systems. But it will also be something that is going to be important for HVAC installers and other people to understand how that works, especially as it works in conjunction with a new or used property. It can't be done if you're building a brand new hotel. You won't be able to write off the roof and the HVAC system, but when you go to renovate it, you might be. Now, finally, the other thing that changes under these regulations is the depreciable life of real estate goes from where it currently is at 39 year for non-residential real estate and 27 and a half year for residential real estate to 25 years. So it will reduce that recapture time for the owners of real estate. Now, this is going to allow people to recapture a lot of their expenditures in real estate quicker. It is important to note that with the bonus depreciation and the 179 expensing, though, it's still going to be important that building owners do things like a cost segregation study to accelerate as much of that into the early years, especially with the way that the pass-through tax rate works under the Senate plan. That's going to be even more valuable to a lot of taxpayers to get that immediate write-off. And then the other thing to consider is what happens with inflation and other things as some of this cash starts working through the system. So that time value of money is going to be much more important to corporate taxpayers. Now, in conclusion, what I want to point out to a lot of people is a lot of these aren't huge changes over where we are now. So if people are going through tax planning for 2017 and even into 2018, you should not be changing what you're doing based on these regulations. You should be continuing it. So if you have real estate being placed in service, a cost segregation study is still a great avenue to look at. If you're going through the process of a research tax credit, still keep moving forward with that. Even with the corporate AMT issue, even if this plan was to be implemented the way it's written, the corporate AMT issue would not be an issue until the 2019 tax year because they've delayed the reduction in the corporate tax rate for a year. So as you move forward, make sure you're still looking at all of these different issues because the cost segregation may become more valuable than it was before, and that R&D credit does not lose anything as it moves forward. We appreciate you tuning in, and we will continue to keep you updated. Hopefully, once we hear more about where this all flushes out, we will have another podcast discussing how this was all reconciled and keeping everyone informed. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to McGuire on the Wire. Have a question from today's episode or interested in our team covering another topic? Reach out to us at McGuire on the Wire @McGuireSponsel.com.